Well, we basically just read our whole passage that Chuck and I are talking about today in that song. It's pretty cool, almost word for word. But today, I'm going to tell you a little bit about shepherds and shepherd life, and then Chuck is going to tell you about the story. But I'm glad you're here on Christmas. It's kind of a mixed thought, you know, because you want to be with family, but you want to worship God, and God honors both. But it's interesting because when we come to worship God, a lot of times everything else falls in line. As I was sitting there, I was looking at all the things that I had not done. And it's kind of bewildering. That candle is not on. I don't know why it's not on. I forgot to light those candles. Yeah, the lighter is in my office. My PowerPoint wouldn't work. And I don't know. It just was flustering. It's like, well, we want everything to be perfect, not so that people can look at it and say, wow, it was perfect, but so that Satan doesn't have the ability to get in the way of what is going on today. But then I think about the shepherds, and the angels came to them, and they were stinky and smelly, and they said, go and worship the newborn king. They didn't get all gussied up. They didn't have their shower. They didn't even have gifts for the king. And yet, they went and worshiped him. So today, we have the opportunity to come as we are, without our presuppositions, without the things that we worry about, without anything getting in the way, because God accepts us and loves us as we are. That's pretty cool. Let me pray first. Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for us being able to remember your birth here so long ago. That, yeah, it's a memory, maybe a distant memory, but that you're alive today. Please help Chuck and I to be able to speak to the best of our abilities, not for our sakes, but for you to get glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about the shepherds because sometimes it's easier to understand things in a story. And it is, if you were reading a book, it would be called historical fiction. But I have, I've studied the shepherds and sheep and that kind of stuff. So I tried to weave it in. So here it goes. Joshua, Gideon, Daniel, and Reuben, they were shepherds in Bethlehem and they were good friends. Every single day and every single night they watched their flocks. And they stunk like sheep too. Their flocks were raised for wool and food, but some of the other friends that raised sheep, they were using those for sacrifices to God, because Jerusalem was just 5 miles away. People looked down on their job for some reason, even though they respected their forefathers, Moses and David, who happened to be shepherds. They probably weren't because they stunk, but because they were ceremonially unclean all the time, and they couldn't get to the temple to be able to be cleansed, to worship God. That's a clincher, right? They weren't able to be cleansed in the temple in order to worship God. Sometimes it was hard for them because they were usually the last to be told anything, since they were out in the hills and fields with their flocks. They were just regular people, definitely not like wise men or kings. But that was okay by them. The friends, they had just finished another day of taking care of their sheep. They had gotten up early that morning and led their sheep to a new pasture. At the hottest part of the day, they led them to the well for watering, and they even let their sheep rest under the shade. Joseph, one of the shepherds there, he had spent several hours traipsing after a sheep on the hillside, going up and down and up and down. And after many hours of searching, he finally found this sheep in a desolate ravine. You know, he loved the sheep, which doesn't make sense, but he went after it and he brought it back. The exhausted creature was carried back to the flock on the shepherd's strong shoulders. As if that wasn't enough for one day, one of Daniel, the other shepherd's sheep, was dragged off by a lion. Daniel cried out to his friends to watch his flock, and he tore after the lion, following him to the lion's lair. That would be scary by itself, but he managed to scare off the lion by yelling, hitting rocks with his heavy staff, and flinging deadly stones with his slingshot. The lion finally dropped the sheep And Daniel scooped it up and carried it back to its flock. It's now late in the afternoon, and they knew that they needed to get the hilly pasture ready for the sheep to be able to go to sleep that night. So they began setting up sheepfolds, making walls of rocks. They gathered the rocks around the area, and they put up the walls, and on top they put thorny bushes, hoping to keep the wild animals out. A fire they placed in the middle of these sheepfolds so that they could warm up themselves. Then the friends decided to cast lots to see who would take the first watch of the night. With that set up out of the way, it's time to gather the sheep into their folds. Each shepherd, they call out to their sheep, and this commotion starts coming. Lots of noises, and the sheep start dispersing. If we were looking on it, we would wonder what was going on. But even though sheep are considered dumb, every single sheep knows their own shepherd's voice and comes to the right shepherd. It's amazing. When the sheep finally were peaceful and safe, they would go to sleep. And the shepherds, the ones that didn't have a watch, they lay down in the opening to their sheepfolds to protect the sheep. But Gideon, poor Gideon, he had the first watch of the night. He stays up to be able to watch for animals. Just minutes after Joseph and Daniel and Reuben had drifted off to sleep, a brilliant light brightened the sky, and they woke up startled and overwhelmed with the glory of God. And when they saw an angel standing nearby, they were terrified for their lives. But the angel surprisingly said, "Do not be afraid." Is it any wonder that God chose the shepherds to be some of the very first people that he wanted to tell of the Savior coming? We've talked about it from the beginning of Genesis, from the beginning of creation, that men and women messed up. There was no way we can be with a perfect God. But God said, "I'm making a way. I'm going to provide a salvation for you." And that salvation was found in the Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, last week we looked at Mary and Joseph, and they were called to provide a place for Jesus. And this week we're called to praise Jesus. Just like the shepherds, when they hear the story, they go out and they tell other people about it. Again, they're just themselves. They're just regular old people. But they go out and tell the world about Jesus. One thing I would be remiss to say, that the Messiah was promised to Eve thousands of years before. The Messiah was promised to Abraham 2,000 years before this. The Messiah was promised to David 1,000 years before this. And now the Messiah has come. I like the verse that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Man has worked the field since his fall, by beast or by crop, in plenty and in drought. He must tame the land or be tamed by it. The shepherd knows this well. He is a keeper. He is a guardian. He is a guide. And his flock, aimless in all their attempts, pulls him far away to chase their fickle hearts. How peculiar it is that God omnipotent would take the post of a shepherd.
Don't be afraid.
You don't be afraid.
For I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, has been born this night in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the babe wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.
A baby?
A manger.
Glory to God in the highest! Peace on earth and goodwill toward men! Glory to God in the highest! Peace on earth and peace on earth and goodwill toward men.
And so the shepherds left their flock and hurried to the village of Bethlehem. In society's eyes, shepherds should not be the first ones to greet the King of Kings. But isn't that just like the Creator of the universe? He uses lowly people to do amazing things for His glory.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I would like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, where our story is today. Starting with verse 8. I'm going to start reading it while you're looking for it. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. I read that and I had a lot of questions, and that's the first sentence. How many shepherds were there? Do you think there were two, like the video showed? Do you think there were more? Do you think there was less? Do you think there might have only been one? And how nearby were they? Were they 5 miles away? Were they right around the corner? How many flocks were there? And this is where it gets kind of interesting, because the NIV says flocks. And it doesn't matter whether you're looking at the older version of the NIV or the newer version of the NIV. It says flocks. But I'll bet you Pastor Ivan's Bible says flock. Sorry, that's my alarm telling me I have 5 minutes left. Christmas music, right? Appropriate? So, was there one flock or were there many flocks? And it's kind of important because some people think that these sheep were the sheep that were raised for the temple, for the Passover sacrifice. And if that's the case, it kind of puts a better perspective on these shepherds. They're raising sheep they know are going to be killed to pay for other people's sins. So was there one flock or were there many? And of course, that also would determine how many shepherds there were. Well, some of this doesn't really make any difference. It says an angel appeared. Was it the same angel that appeared to Zechariah and Mary and Joseph? I don't know. Maybe it was. And where was the angel? Was it way up in the sky, like, you know, when we see the Big Dipper? You know, was it like way up there or was it close to him? And where was the angel when he visited Mary? Pretty close. How about Zechariah? Right there in the temple with him. In the dream with Joseph? Don't really know, but I'm assuming close by. So should we assume that the angel was really far away this time? Or was he real close to the shepherds? And then it says the shepherds were terrified. Okay, I can understand Mary being terrified by an angel. She was a teenage woman. I can understand Zechariah being terrified because all of a sudden there's somebody in a place with him that shouldn't be there. And he's not used to that. The shepherds, if you go back and you kind of remember King David's story when he was a shepherd, he had to fight lions and bears. So why would the shepherds be terrified of something that's way off in the distance up in the sky? And I guess I'm saying these things because this is how I always envisioned it when I read through this. And then when the angel starts talking, do not be afraid. Of course, that's what the angels always say when they meet people. Don't be afraid. Bringing good news to all the people. Who are all the people? I mean, I always thought it was us, but it seems like it was the people of Israel. It was the God's people that the message was brought to. And then the angel says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. The angel didn't say a child has been born who's going to be a Savior. The angel said a Savior is born. This is God's plan. He knew how it was going to turn out. He knew Jesus was going to grow up and be our Savior and do everything that he needed to according to God's plan. And then what I really think is cool is all of a sudden there's a whole host of angels singing glory to God. And I can just see the sky filled with them. And maybe that's why I think this first angel was way up there. Because it's the only way you can kind of put them all together. But maybe they were all out here in the field. I don't know. Can't wait till I get a chance to talk to one of the shepherds and find out exactly how it was. But all this host of angels appear. And then something I never thought about or considered. They all went back into heaven. Can you think of another time we see angels going into heaven? When they're escorting Jesus back to heaven after the resurrection, after he spent 40 days on earth. At his ascension, he went up into the clouds of angels. So there's a lot of things in these few, I don't know, that just really excite me. I always like this story. The shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. They are not going to Bethlehem to see if it happened. They are going to Bethlehem because they know it happened and they want to be a part of it. They want to see it. So they hurried. They found Mary. Now here comes another. How hard did they have to look for Mary and Jesus? Did they have to go from place to place to place to place looking for him? They knew he was in an animal stall. They knew that Jesus was laying in a manger. But we don't know how many animal stalls there were in Bethlehem. Some sources say that the angel gave more direct information that we're not told about, and they went immediately there. Other sources say they looked for a while until they found him. But in either case, we know, whatever, they found Jesus in the last place they looked. He was there, and he was there just like the angel said he would be. We don't have much detail on what happened when the shepherds show up. Mary and Joseph are in the stall. The baby's in the manger. Jesus is in the manger. I can only imagine the shepherds start telling them what they saw, the angels in the sky and everything. And so then Mary and Joseph, they start talking about their angel encounters. And when they get done sharing, the shepherds go out and they start spreading that word to everybody they can find. And everybody that heard it was amazed. They knew the Messiah was coming. They'd been waiting for the Messiah. But I don't think they knew it was going to be like this. And then we're told that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them. Wouldn't it be cool to find her diary? Imagine what she's written in that. About not only this incident, but all the days leading to the day Jesus died, went back to heaven. And then the shepherds returned to the field. They went back to work, and I'm sure that they told everyone they ran into what they had seen and what they had heard that night. Do you think the shepherds ever considered God's upper story plan, that it would bump into their lower story, meager, dirty, smelly life? How far do you think word spread after the shepherds told everybody? How long was it before this wonderful news wasn't news anymore? Why wasn't there a reaction from Jerusalem? Why weren't there crowds of people outside the stable? Why didn't people line up to see the Messiah? They were waiting for him to come. What happened to the religious leaders? They knew Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. Were they tired of waiting? Or were they no longer watching or expecting? Did they think it was just a joke? Or did God do something to make sure Jesus had a chance to grow up like a normal child rather than one who was followed by crowds? I mean, you kind of think paparazzi these days. But imagine, I don't know. How is Jesus in your life? Is he still a baby in a manger? Is he still on the cross? Or is he the Lord, the one who is in control of your life? Are you running around telling people about him? Or is it old news? The call of Christmas this week is to praise. The angel of the Lord praised God as he told the good news. The army of angels praised God before returning to heaven. The shepherds praised God as they told others what they had seen and heard. Mary worshiped God as she considered the things that he had been doing. What are you doing? Are you telling? Are you praising? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? As your Messiah? Are you looking for his promised return? Good things to be thinking about. And today's a good day to think about. Thank you.
Well, one thing about the angels, they praised God, say glory to God in the highest. But they praised because they see God and they know his glory. But did you know that people are the only ones that have experienced his glory? That we're the only ones that can actually praise because of the grace shown us. That's pretty amazing. So the shepherds, they didn't have any gifts, but what they did give was themselves. Completely and fully, even though they are stinky, smelly, and unclean. So Tim ended yesterday at the candlelight service. He said, "Send us now as messengers and proclaimers of your peace." And the benediction is found in Psalm 96. It goes well with this. Sing to the Lord a new song and sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are just idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, and bring an offering and come into his court. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness and tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established and it cannot be removed. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. Well, it's fun to see you on Christmas. Normally we don't get to share this part together. I'm glad you're here. Remember, the reason for the season is not what we see around us, but it's who is alive today. You're dismissed, and thanks for coming again.